Passengers and crew loaded onto an Airbus A330-300 bound for Shanghai. They eventually pushed back and waited for takeoff. The engines thrust, and they picked up speed, and the plane finally takes off. Wheels are up, and they begin their climb into the air. I imagine little children looking out the window as the once large cars and homes now become smaller and smaller. Not before long, the flight reaches its cruising altitude, and drinks are now being served. At this point, it's about 3.5 hours into the flight, and suddenly both engines fail midair. The airplane begins plunging. It drops 5,000 feet, 10,000 feet, 20,000 feet, and it's still falling out of the air. And it's right there that we find the disciples in today's story. Sure, it's not mid-air, it's on a boat, but it's in that pure, uncertain fear. The disciples' boat is taking on water, and there was Jesus sleeping of all things. And the disciples are like, Jesus, all right, come on already. Don't you even care what's going on? And I get it. I get the disciples. We've all got fears. If it's not planes diving tens of thousands of feet or boats filling with water in a storm, then it's something else. We as a people are afraid of a variety of things. A 2014 Chapman University survey found the top five things Americans fear most are, number one, well, any guesses, actually? I'm curious. Any guesses what you think number one fear is? Okay, I didn't hear a single word. I'm going to imagine that you all said walking alone. That was the number one fear from this survey. Number two was becoming the victim of identity theft. Number three, safety on the internet, which I thought was kind of an interesting one. Number four, being the victim of a mass or random shooting. And five, public speaking. And you and I both know that the list goes on and on. Maybe you're afraid of spiders or dogs, two other popular ones. Maybe it's a deep fear of losing a job or being financially unstable. Or what about the fear of intimacy, or the fear of being alone, or even the fear of missing out? And what about hate crimes? After watching the atrocities of Charleston unfold on Wednesday, we know that this is a very real fear. After all, 33% of all hate crimes were against black individuals in 2013, and 20% of all hate crimes were against lesbian, gay, and bisexual individuals. That means that our black and LGBTQ brothers and sisters make up over half of all hate crimes in the United States in 2013, according to the FBI. But what if we don't fear hate crimes? Maybe on this Father's Day, you're a father, and you're actually a little bit fearful about being a good father and raising that child well. Or maybe you have fears of your own father who was abusive to you. We might also fear disasters like tornadoes and floods, power outages, pandemics, major epidemics. Disasters can be sudden and scary. And this last week, as we had our tornado warnings and flash floods on Monday, I stood in the basement of our church-owned rental units and the church itself and watched as we took on water from those floods. And in that moment, I know I was afraid of the impact of the flood. And like my fears of the impact of the storm, the fears of the disciples in the boat might not only have been fears of the storm, the disciples might also have been afraid of the impact of their journey and the impact the storm might have long term. After all, the disciples are following Jesus to the other side, to that Gentile territory. It's the first time in Mark where we see these fishermen following Jesus to a destination that might be considered a bit dangerous, even inappropriate for Jews to go. So there's plenty to be afraid of in this journey. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus says, "Peace, be still." And the wind dies down. Jesus speaks, and all is calm. It's interesting. Perhaps you're a bit skeptical about this event. I mean, we call it a miracle, but do we really believe that Jesus spoke and the storm ceases? Over the next few weeks, we're going to step into a bunch of Jesus' miracles. And David Loess notes that each time we will be challenged with how to treat them. Living in a modern world, we have a bit of a hard time with miracles, wanting either to overlook them as a somewhat embarrassing element of a bygone worldview, you know, like treating demon possession as mental illness, or we want to treat these miracles in some way to make them rationally make sense. Well, in Leif Inger's book, Peace Like a River, he says, "Real miracles bother people. They're like strange, sudden pains unknown in medical literature. People fear miracles because they fear being changed." And so here the disciples are with a tumultuous sea, and they're probably not only afraid of the storm, but also afraid of being transformed from fishermen into disciples. And maybe that's just it. What we really fear in our fears, or in other words, what debilitates us, is that we're afraid of actually being changed. We're afraid that a flooded basement might actually change our plans for how we plan financially, or how we might go about our night, or that with identity theft, we might just need to change the way that we look at the world. And it's striking that in today's reading, Jesus doesn't say, "Do not fear." No, of course, Jesus really gets that life is full of a lot of scary things. Our lives can be isolating. They can be full of pain, full of problems, full of rejection. Yet what we know today is that fear does not have the last word. Through the entire Gospel of Mark, people are afraid time and time again. And actually, at the tomb, the women want to run away afraid. They leave in fear. Yet what we know is that through it all, there is Jesus present in the fear. God's presence breaks forth into our world to be with us. God is with us through the tornado warnings and church shootings. God's presence is forever with us. And so in those moments when we fear, when that boat feels like it's sinking, God is there to remind us to be still and have peace. In the midst of an airplane dropping 30,000 feet, we're reminded that the pilots accompanied those passengers on the journey. Pilots who were able to start up those two engines and pull that plane back into a successful and safe landing in Shanghai. And in the midst of mass shootings, like the one in Charleston this week, the ELCA Bishop of South Carolina Synod reminds us that when one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer. So we stand in solidarity with those who are marginalized as our God is with them. And this is really important for us as people of privilege. And so I want to be absolutely clear here. It does not matter if you're Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal. When a statement that Black Lives Matter is made, it does not mean that all lives do not matter. Of course, all lives have value. Yet when blacks are disproportionately treated with contempt and violence, and when blacks are often not fully welcomed and affirmed in many communities, and when the welcome of our God is truncated by the color of someone's skin, then we are called by our God. We are called as Christians to make a statement that our God stands with all people, and especially those who are on the outside. And so next week, we will remember our promise to be a reconciling in Christ congregation where all are welcome, especially our lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and queer brothers and sisters. And with that statement, it does not mean that we don't support or affirm our straight brothers and sisters. Quite the contrary. For we know that often our world supports straight white people. So it means that we need to step up and make sure the world knows that all people matter, especially those who are often forgotten and marginalized, and those who are the majority of targets of hate crime. So we stand up to make it clear that our God accompanies those who are LGBTQ and those who are black. We take a stand to say all are welcome in this place because all are welcomed by our God. We are all on a journey accompanied by our God who reminds us that we are loved and that we can never be separated from our God. And that's the power of today's gospel. As Michael Lindvall notes, even though there are real and fearsome things in this life, they need not paralyze us. They need not have dominion over us. They need not own us because we are not alone in that boat. And Michael goes on to recall a scene near the end of John Bunyan's classic allegorical novel, The Pilgrim's Progress. The Pilgrim's Progress is actually how you say that. In the scene, we find this chief character, Christian, who is the archetype of a person struggling to lead a life of faith. There, Christian nears the end of his symbolic journey, and it requires him to cross a great and fearsome river. He is desperately afraid. And together with his friend, who is named Hopeful, they wade into the waters. They wade into the waters with trepidation. And eventually, Christian cries out. He says, I sink in deep waters. The billows go over my head. All his waves go over me. And Hopeful replies with what may be among the most grace-filled words in all of literature. Hopeful says, be of good cheer, my brother. I feel the bottom, and it is good. My friends, I've said all of this today to remind you of this. Our God is with you. Our God journeys with you in the storms of life. You have a place here at Wicker Park Lutheran Church to share in the journey through the fears and through the awe-filled moments. As the council shares its final response to the Listening Project this week, we are committed to journeying with you through life in the midst of the exciting changes that our conversations bring. We gather here in this place each Sunday, committed to being an expression of God's love in all we do. A vastly expansive, welcoming place in all that we do. So today's gospel reminds us that in the midst of all of those nosedives of life, of all of those water-logged boats, and in all the fears of our life, God is with us. Amen.